Translation. For those who are too attached to material enjoyments, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires, which are the cause of all tribulations. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We have actually seen, especially in the Western countries, that men who have reached more than 80 years of age still go to nightclubs and pay heavy fees to drink wine and associate with women. Although such men are too old to enjoy anything, their desires have not ceased. Time deteriorates even the body itself, which is the medium for all sensual satisfaction. But even when a man becomes old and invalid, his desires are strong enough to dictate that he go here and there to satisfy the desires of his senses. Therefore, by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, one should give up his lusty desires. As explained by Sri Yamanudacharya, Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa damanya ujjatam rantum asit tadavadi bat nara nari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shushtu nishtvanam cha. When one is Krishna conscious, he gets more and more happiness by discharging duties for Krishna. Such a person spits on sense gratification, especially that of sexual enjoyment. An experienced advanced devotee is no longer interested in sex life. The strong desire for sex can be subdued only by advancement in Krishna consciousness. Om Gyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So at the end of this verse it talks about spitting at the thought of sex life. That's the goal of life, and that's part of the goal of life, to, you know, just not be interested in material life anymore. And which the most attractive thing is sex life, or those things which are actually related to sex life. And basically speaking, the whole material creation's connected to sex life. There has to be some drive for to do anything. If there's no impetus, you know, there's nothing to do. We just don't exist. We just fail to have any reason for existing. Thinking, feeling, and willing, it says in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever one's thoughts are will inspire willingness, a willingness to carry out those thoughts. And then whatever Sorry, then thinking, feeling and willing. So feeling, we'll have an inspiration to carry out those thoughts, and then we'll actually really want to do it. That's the process. And so it all depends on where we put our heart, where we put our mind. Is that right? Where is that? If our heart is into some... we can't say that we're being picked on by the material energy. You know, we are actually inviting the material energy. That's what it means. The material energy is completely useless if we take shelter of Krishna. This is the sum and substance of all the Shastras. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So if we're focused, if we've been afflicted by attraction to the opposite sex, it means that's our actually thinking, that's where our thinking power is going. And the more we meditate on that, then the more eventually we'll actually do it. Thinking, feeling and willing. And so the whole, you know, there's so many strategies in material life to, you know, control. Well, not so many to control the senses, actually. More to enjoy the senses. But there's so many strategies in material life to control different vices like anger, you know. But they're all coping strategies. The real strategy is to control the mind. So, you know, Krishna tells Arjuna, Mahabaho. Why, Mahabaho means mighty armed one. But then Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, actually, you'll be really a Mahabaho if you can control the biggest enemy, and that's the mind. So, you know, the mind is either the friend or the enemy. If we allow the mind to go here, there and everywhere, then we'll go here, there and everywhere. What do you call it? The Mana Ratena, the chariot of the mind. Has anybody ever experienced the chariot of the mind? You know, we're going this way and then, wait a minute, should we be going that way? And we go that way. And then we go, you know, it's driving, the mind's a driving force in material energy. And so it's, you know, driving us to this, to that, so many things. People are changing so many situations just to find that satisfaction of the mind. You know, from one lifetime they're into so many things, next life into so many things. It's just going on and on and on. So, yeah, we can't artificially control the mind. We may try. I mean, Prabhupada was, when some of, I read this, I wasn't there, but it says that in the early days, the brahmacharis, when they started reading Prabhupada's books, they tried to artificially overcome this sex desire. You know, if they saw Mataji, they would remember Yamunacharya and they would turn away and spit. So I heard, I mean, I'm not sure. But, you know, what good is that, you know? He says the external things may be there, but the heart's still attracted. So we can't do it that way. Of course, there was two sages, two Ramacharis, they were on their... walking on pilgrimage, and there was one Mataji who wanted to cross the river, and she couldn't manage on her own, so one of the brahmacharis said, get on my shoulders. And so she got on his shoulders and he took her across, and the other brahmachari is like, what's going on, you know? And they got to the other side and he didn't say anything for a while, and they were walking and walking for a long time. And then eventually he couldn't actually, you know, hold it back in line. He said, what did you do that for? He said, what? He said, about an hour ago we crossed a river and you carried a Mataji on your back and you're a brahmachari. He says, I carried her for 2 minutes. You've been carrying her for the last hour. So externally we can't do it. We have to really concentrate on the internal motivation. Anyway, It talks about old age as well. I can come back to the process. But he's specifically saying that in older age, you know, I was once giving a class. It was in Russia. It was a house program. A lot of programs are house programs out there. And I can't remember what they've... I must have actually touched on this subject of controlling the senses. And there must have been some sex in it or something. But anyway, at the end of the class, I said, anybody got any questions or comments? And this young boy, you know, he'd not been visiting for so long. He put his hand up. He says, you know, you were talking about this, about controlling the senses. He says, it's all right for you. He says, but what about me? He says, you know, you're actually getting on in life. You've seen life and, you're getting older. So, you know, everything's diminishing. He says, but I'm only 18. You know, in other words, what you're trying to stop me from enjoying, you've enjoyed and you're telling me not to enjoy, in other words. And so I told him the story of the king who was asking, when will this sense gratification, his attraction to sex life, diminish? And he was talking to his, you know, to his pandit. And he, we all know the story. He actually took him. He says, he didn't say anything at the time, but later on, he came to the king and says, come with me now and I'll answer your question. And he says, bring your young daughter. And so he went to this house. They went in the house and there was one old man just about to leave his body. You know, and as soon as he brought, he says, watch his eyes when you walk. He said, it's before he went in. He says, before, when you go in, there's an old man leaving his body. I want you to, as soon as you walk in, watch his eyes. And he walked in with his young daughter and immediately the old man, he looked at the daughter. And so he immediately realised that it doesn't go away. It's actually worse. You know, because when you get older, you know, the desire may be there, but there's no facility for satisfying that desire. And when you're younger, you know, if you want to, you can satisfy that desire to some degree. so we shouldn't think that... Actually, what does happen is when the body gets older... You know, there's a tendency to think, you know, to concentrate if we're a devotee on, you know, wrapping up this sojourn in the material world. That's a benefit, you know, as the body starts to decrease in strength and vitality, then we know that, you know, we should be getting ready for that last moment. so old age, it's a horrible thing. I remember one devotee, it was Indriyesha's brother, actually. It was about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago. And he said to me, isn't it horrible? I said, what? He said, old age. You know, up to that point, he'd probably not had too many problems. And then all of a sudden, he'd got some, you know, the first pangs of old age had really hit him. And how does it come? It comes with, like, you know, you get some aches and pains. And you know, usually, you know, when you're younger, you get an ache. And then after a few weeks, or a few days even, it's gone. But it doesn't. As you get older, they don't go away. They just, you know, you just start collecting these things. I once was going door to door. And, you know, you go from one door to... It's in the daytime, so not many people were in, so I was a little bit, you know, passionate. I was going pretty quick from one door to another. In the evening, there's more people. And I knocked at one door... And I waited in probably about 15 to 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, then thought nobody's in. Then I went to the next one. Nobody in. Went to the next one. And then all of a sudden I had this... You know, the first door, the door had opened. So I thought, wow, it took some time to get that door. This you know, like this was about 3 minutes later. So I went to that door quickly before he had a chance to see you. Oh, well, you know, you get there and you've got to engage them before they see you, Hare Krishna. You really shut the door when they see your daughter. And so he said, he says, you don't know how much I'm suffering. Whoa. But it weren't funny. It really hit me. I thought, wow, this is what old age means. It took him 3 minutes to get to his door. And he was in agony. And so this is what this is really what old age is all about. um, Yeah, but when we're younger, what happens is we don't consider this, because pains and pleasures come, and then as soon as, you know, we may be suffering, we may be praying to Krishna to get rid of it, and we think, whoa, he's waking us up to the idea that a body's not a place to enjoy. But then what happens within space of how many minutes? How many minutes is it, when the pain's gone, how long does it take us to forget it? It's like instant. Right, now I can get on with life. So we don't necessarily learn by the school of hard knocks. And then there's birth, the other end of the scale. We talk about the four main pillars of suffering. Birth, we're talking about old age in particular. But, you know, when there's, what it says, when there's death, there must be, what follows? Birth. And I was once asking one devotee, Prabhupada disciple, and this Prabhupada disciple, we're talking about, you know, a bit philosophical, and I said, what things are you really frightened of that you don't want to come back to this material world? What really? He said, taking birth in the womb again. I thought, well, that's really philosophical, actually. And I was talking to another devotee a little bit later, and he said, I just had one of these MRIs. Anybody had an MRI? You know, it's like a tube, and it scans the whole body. And I thought, well, big deal. But he was really emphasizing to me that this is not a very nice thing to have. And so I said, okay, you know, I accept what you're saying. And then later on, a few years later, guess what? I got some pain in the neck, and I couldn't get rid of it. So I was in India, and they advised me, you know, go and have an MRI. And so I could remember what this person was saying. I thought it can't be as bad as that. And so I went, and I saw the tube that you put in. I thought, oh, it's not so bad. It's pretty big, actually. And so they put me in this, on this the wheel mean, into the MRI, and they said, now whatever you do, he says, don't swallow while we're taking this MRI. You know what I mean? Because they were taking specifically of the neck. And guess what? Where all my thinking power went as soon as he said that. So I laid there, and as soon as he shut the door to take this MRI, I went... And so then he came running back in, and he said, what happened? I said, I just couldn't help it, you know. He said, okay, we'll try again. And he went, as soon as he shut the door, he got on the machine and went... gulp. And he went out and he came in again and said, what happened? And this happened about four or five times. Then he finished, we said, look, we just have to do away with what we've, you know, what scan we've taken. It'll not be very good. Well, because, you know, that instead of taking like 5 or 10 minutes to take this amount, I was still in there like 20 minutes later, and I was really freaking out, you know, this. And I thought, what's it like to be in the womb, you know? Of course, the baby's consciousness is less than ours, but this, it's, you know, it's still the same. It's still relative. Another time I was in Vrindavan, and I got in a sleeping bag. It was like these mummy sleeping bags. You know, they're a little bit tight, aren't they? And in the night I'd been tossing and turning. It had wrapped itself really tight around me. And it was the middle of winter. And you know the mattress that you sleep on? I put it on top of me to keep me warm. It was so cold. And then I woke up and I couldn't move. And it was black, pitch black, and same feeling. I was terrified just for a few seconds until eventually I managed to get free. So we can't underestimate what the Shastras are actually saying about these situations. And they're impetuses for us to, you know, become serious about devotional service. You know, old age will eventually come to everybody. But we don't think that. It's like the wet stool and the dry stool. You know, the wet stool is laughing at the dry stool because the dry stool's being going to be burnt. But, you know, it's only a matter of time before he dries out. And then finished. What else is there? Birth, we've had old age. Disease. Anyway, death, we don't know too much about. We've had many, many times when we've left this body, but you know, it's something which is forgotten. So but anyway, we hear about death, and it's not a very satisfying condition. So So let's talk a little bit about taking shelter of Krishna. This was the where we started in the beginning, that, you know, where the mind is where we'll go. So, you know, the mind has to be focused on Krishna. You know, you see, Radha Gokulananda ki jai. It says that we're all bewildered actually in this material world. This is why we do all these outlandish things like taking shelter of the body. Tribir guna maya bhavir ebe savam idam jagat mohitam nabhiganati mame bhya param avyayam. That we're all bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Very difficult to overcome. So next verse says, daivihi yashaguna mayi. That we should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when we're practicing devotional service, that may be difficult. It's easy to say in practice. Prabhupada says devotional service is simple for the simple. And in Bhagavad Gita, he explains that, you know, many people are performing performing different devotional processes. When they look at devotional service, it seems too easy. And they think it's actually a process for people who are not so intelligent or not so advanced in spiritual life. He says, but when they actually try to practice it according to the rules and regulations, they can't make it. And so that's maybe what sometimes we experience, that the process is simple, but controlling the mind and applying it is the real test. So we have to understand the nature of the internal potency and the external potency. The external potency is far, far inferior to the superior potency, the internal potency. And of the internal potency, the most attractive one is the Ladini Shakti. And the Ladini Shakti is a pleasure-giving potency. All living entities in this material world, and they're searching for pleasure. Sarva Sukhino Bhavantu, the Shastras say. The Shastras understand this. So what direction do they give? They give the direction that, let everybody be happy. Follow these Shastras and you can fulfill all your desires. So so we take shelter of the Ladini Shakti. This is the process of devotional service. This is why a devotee can become more powerful than any great yogi. There's the example of Durvasa Muni. He was very, very powerful. You know, he was a mystic yogi. He had 10,000 disciples. But when it came to the crunch of controlling the senses, you know, pride was there. In a devotee, there's no pride. Because he's fully dependent on Krishna. He's understanding that he's becoming related to Krishna. He's understanding Krishna is actually the source of all his ability. But Durvasa Muni, because he didn't have that connection, he was depending on his own ability. This is the difference between a mystic yogi and a bhakti yogi. And so therefore, in a difficult situation, it wasn't a real difficult situation actually. For a devotee, nothing's difficult in this material world if we can take shelter of the internal energy. So he was only slightly, he wasn't even insulted actually. He couldn't even see that Ambarish Maharaj didn't have any animosity towards him. And because of his pride, he became very, very angry and tried to destroyed Ambarish Maharaj. But, you know, on the other hand, Ambarish Maharaj were completely not at fault. He was cursed by Durvasa Muni, and he never actually lost his composure in that situation. So we can understand from this that, you know, we can control the senses very nicely if we take shelter of the internal potency. So we have to get that higher taste. Vishayavinivartante, it says in Bhagavad Gita. You know, in the beginning, there's an endeavor to control the senses. This is what we're doing. But we should rest assured that every time we make the right choice in devotional service, then the endeavor to make the right choice next time is lessened. The ability to control the senses is lessened. And we become more and more inclined towards following that process. And eventually we reach the point where we get the higher taste. This is what a devotee is looking for. I mean, to some degree, if we don't think we've got the higher taste, then we're not correct in our thinking. just by virtue that everybody's sat here in this temple room following the process, it means that there's some taste there which is coming from Krishna. So how much that taste can improve? Krishna's the source of all pleasure. That taste can increase unlimitedly. So we have to be sure about that. That this little bit of, you know, superfluous sense enjoyment from sex life is not even a drop in the ocean compared to Brahmananda. What to speak of spiritual life, real spiritual life or devotional service. So there's two types of devotional service. There's many types of devotional service. They're unlimited, actually, according to the different modes of nature and the different kinds of permutations of devotional service. That's how many different ways we can serve Krishna. But basically speaking, there's two main ways. One is called a semblance of devotional service, and one is called pure devotional service. Even a semblance of devotional service can actually be pure in motivation, but it becomes a semblance when it's connected with, as soon as it becomes connected with, a little bit of enjoyment in this world. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that we can still be a pure devotee even though we have material desires. How is that possible? He says, providing those material desires don't become greater than our desire to serve Krishna. In other words, the desires are there, but we keep them under control. And this brings up the story of Guru Kripa Swami. He was taking rest, and in the middle of the night, Prabhupada woke him up. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm sleeping, Prabhupada." He says, "Why are you sleeping?" He says, "I'm tired, Prabhupada." Oh, he said, "Because I'm not a pure devotee, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "Why aren't you a pure devotee?" And he gave some answer. And then Prabhupada said, "Why aren't you a pure devotee?" And he gave another answer. And Prabhupada was relentless. He said, "Why aren't you a pure devotee?" And eventually he couldn't speak. You know, he was just like speechless. I heard that he began crying. Prabhupada was so heavy. And he said, "No, you should be a pure devotee. There's no excuse for not being a pure devotee." So this is what it means, actually. The desires are there. But what does Bhagavad Gita say? At a point, we get to a point in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's in the second chapter, verse 70 or 72. It says that desires may come, but the inclination's not there. So the desires don't go away immediately. Desires will be there. What's the inclination? It means, I know this is not good for me. It'll do me no good at all. It says if we have that inclination, we can build on that. We should fan that inclination. Take shelter of Krishna at that time. So, so if we want to, we have to remain determined to do this. The determination is coming from, well, ultimately it's coming from Krishna. But in Bhagavad Gita it says, what is different kinds of determination? And the determination we're looking for is not determination which, no determination. We're not determined at all. This means we don't even take to devotional service. This is ignorance. Or we can come to devotional service and have determination in passion. And we all experience this to some degree. That, you know, we're satisfied in devotional service up to a point, and then for some reason the satisfaction's not there anymore. What does that mean? It means there's some passion. There's some desire to enjoy the situation, and now, you know, we're not getting that enjoyment anymore. So, but it says, but determination in the mode of goodness is what we're looking for. What's that determination? It means it's held by steadfast yoga. The practice of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, by being steadfast in that practice, then we become. There's three things happen. I wrote them down here. I can't remember. Anyway, all the senses of the mind become controlled. And one becomes determined by steadfast yoga. and what's not, one's not very easily diverted. So this is, if we're finding that, you know, attraction to the opposite sex is becoming a little bit pronounced, then really all we have to do is take shelter of the process, absorb the mind in the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And we'll find if we do that very sincerely, then we'll be able to overcome this strong urge of sex desire, a strong attraction to the opposite sex. Of course, if that attraction is too much, then we may have to find a situation where we can fulfill those desires. So we have certain ashrams for allowing us to do that. But even then, what is the situation? If we go into that ashram, we still have to do the same thing. We've got more baggage, you know, we've got a more difficult situation, and we still have to do it. So we really have to meditate on this, that, you know, this test that I may be going through, it's a chance to actually become really, really strong in devotional service. If we're not getting any tests, either we've already got to the platform, we're a pure devotee, Maha Bhagavat, no problems. We're just naturally spontaneously attracted to service to Krishna. But if we're not feeling any problems, maybe, you know, maybe we've started to cruise in devotional service. One person was telling me, there's one saying, said, we are cruising for a bruising. I remember once I was at work, and the van driver, he was missing, so they asked me to drive the van that night. And so I got in the van. It was November. And November is a time when they, you know, it starts to become chilly, and sometimes there's ice. So I hadn't read the weather forecast, and it was the middle of the night, and all of a sudden I'm driving down this road at the usual speed, but I ain't accounted for black ice, and I went around this corner, and all of a sudden I was cruising. You know, cruising we think it's a nice feeling, but if we actually understand what their situation is, it's not a nice feeling. And I realised that there's nothing I can do. I was completely at the mercy of the ice. I turned into the skid and I went that way. And then I went too far. Then I turned away and I went that way. And I was just going from one side of the road, what sent for ages. And then all of a sudden, I mounted the curve, went over this fence and into a field. Went into the field and turned over. So this is the result of, you know, not being diligent. That, you know, when there's some resistance here, we know we're safe, actually. It keeps us focused. But when there seems to be no resistance, we're thinking, why isn't there any resistance? What's happening? Anyway, so we can stop there. Has anybody got any comments or any questions?